Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We are joined by our special guest, Senator Evan Bayh from Indiana, two-term senator, who was the outstanding right tackle on the St. Albans High School football team. Evan, what did you weigh back then?
I think I tipped the scales at about 190, Nick. I weigh less than that now, but...
You were huge.
Well, in those days, I guess I would have been medium-sized. We played some teams that are larger. Today, and you look at the high school lines today, you know, they get to 250, 260, 270. So I guess I'm dating myself.
Well, you know, actually, our guards, I remember Randy Smith and Brian Gore were about 145 pounds soaking wet. So we had a rather small, but they were wrestlers. So
they were
found
wrestlers,
a way to sort of get in people's way.
They were wiry tough. As a matter of fact, I still remember Brian, who played next to me. You know, linemen have a special bond. I'd look over at him. His helmet was about half a size too big, so it would hit the bridge of his nose, and he'd have a little trickle of blood coming down his face.
He would have blood every game.
Always made him look ferocious.
Well, you know, speaking of ferocious, if there is an equivalent to United States Center, you could argue that it is being the umpire or referee, if you will, in an NFL game, and a guy that I always felt looked like Abe Lincoln without the beard and had the same kind of ability to make the good decisions, and you saw him in most of the big games, was Jim Tunney. Jim, how are you?
I'm just doing great, Nick. Senator, how are you doing?
I'm well, Jim. It's good talking to you.
Well, sir, 170 pounds a day to carry the water in and out. That's all they have is water boys with that weight.
Is that right? by the way, Jim, referees have always been revered in my family. My grandfather is in the Indiana State High School Basketball Hall of Fame for having refereed more championship games than any referee in history. So we've always revered referees and umpires in our family.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Congratulations for that award. That's terrific.
Well, thank you.
Nick,
well, guys,
what's going on with you?
Well, I want to talk about what is missing in today's sports and in society, which is respect for people that have to make the tough decisions. I mean, it's not just Joe Torre. It's not just Steinbrenner having to decide whether he's going to keep Joe Torre, which we'll talk about later, hopefully, with Jeremy Schapp. It's also the referees. It's also the guys that have to make judgments, the judges themselves, the senators themselves. And so what I wanted to ask you about, first of all, Jim, is any memory early on in your career when you really questioned whether it was worth it to be a referee in the NFL, because the expectations are so high. If you get 99% of the decisions right, it's still like the kicker, actually. You miss that one. You get that one wrong, and everybody only seems to remember that. Tell me, is there any memory for you like that?
Oh, no, I never missed a call, Nick. No, there are lots of memories like that, and I don't ever question myself about having the opportunity to be in the National Football League. I loved it every weekend and loved every call. Sometimes in November it gets a little tiresome going week in and week out and traveling every Saturday and Sunday. But as many people have said, 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, there's no place I'd rather be than standing in the goal line, blowing the whistle, ready to kick off again. And sure, there are calls that are bad and have gone wrong, and you worry about them, and you do worry about them. And every official leaves that game. When I left the field, Nick, every Sunday I walked off the field, every Monday night, I would say, did I leave the game better than I found it? That was my goal. Could I do a better job today than I did last time? I think that's the goal of every official. The game has changed considerably. We don't have enough time in all your shows to talk about the things that are different or need to be corrected, but just jump into one of them. And one of them is the player-coach relationship. When you go back to the Hallis and Lombardi and Shula and Landry and Waltz and Madden and people like that, they had a great personal relationship with every player. That breaks down today because the agent gets in between and the money gets in between. And I was applying for going after Albert Haynesworth when he stepped on the face of that Dallas Cowboy a week or two ago. Because Fester really got in his face and said, we don't play like this. This is not the way we play football. And Haynesworth, of course, has apologized, but he lost it. But I don't think coaches are enough the father figure that they used to be, and I think we've lost some of that.
We certainly have, and maybe it's because there have been perhaps a loss of father figures. I know in African-American families, in Charles Barkley's book, which we talked about a few months ago, they talk about how, you know, maybe a third of young black males grow up with complete pairs of parents and the kind of support that Evan Bayh and I know we're lucky enough to grow up with. And I do want to ask you, Evan, growing up with a father, Birch Bayh, who was such an outstanding, dynamic, and should I say liberal Democrat, back in the days when liberal did not have such a bad connotation, a guy who was a leader himself, what was it like to see through your father's eyes, speaking of learning those lessons, father figures, how to deal with pressure, how to deal with the fact that rejection and failure and criticism go with the territory?
Well, I think public life and sports have a number of things in common. And Nick, one of them is hopefully they reveal character and help to forge character. And one of the things I learned through my father, he had a long and distinguished public career, but he lost his last election. And that's an occupational hazard. And sometimes you can tell more about somebody by how they handle adversity than by how they handle times when they're going very well. So, from him I learned that you got to try and handle yourself with class, both when times are good and when they're not so good. And I think you learn that in sports too, and it gets back to discussion in terms of how you treat a referee. I think people get all tied up in wanting to win, which is understandable. But at the end of it, it's who you are as a human being and your character that matters most, and how you handle that adversity. So I think some of those lessons can apply both ways, and I certainly learned from my father, and I hope one of the things I do with my own sons now, Nick, is their athletic things, and I hope more than anything else, what kind of athletes they'll be, I don't know, but I hope they grow up to be young men who have strong character, and that's one thing you can learn through sports.
One of the references that both of you share, I think, and Jim, I just wanted to ask you about this, is perhaps the inevitability that you can't please everybody. That part of what comes with that territory is that when you come down on one side, you cast your vote as the umpire, as the referee, you cast your vote as the senator, that 50% or certainly a high percentage of people are going to hate you for it. Jim, what's that like for you?
I learned that from my father as well. As the senator is saying, my father's a great role model for me, and bouncing back adversity is one of the things that he taught me. I never tried to please, I tried to please myself. I felt that if I could keep the integrity of the game first and foremost, I didn't care who won the game, I didn't care who scored the touchdown, I wasn't applauding for that. In fact, I go to a football game now, sit in the stands and never applaud. I just, it's an old habit of mine, but I didn't care who won the game. So I wasn't concerned about whether they liked me or not. I was concerned about doing the right thing and doing the right thing on the field and getting the calls correct every time. That was very important to me. That was the key and I think every official walks on the field thinking that way.
Well, we've only just got a couple minutes left, and Jim, I want you to stay with us to talk about this Larry Johnson face masking penalty in our next segment. But Evan, before we let you go, because we know you have a very busy schedule, any memory for you, any sense of the biggest lesson that you would share with the audience in terms of dealing with adversity? Is there one thing that seems to be missing, one message that you would give to the American public listening about dealing with failure?
Well, anybody who succeeds, Nick, has had to overcome a lot of failures in their life, and we've all had it, whether it's an illness of a parent or a financial reverse or a career setback. It happens to us all, and it's not whether that happens to you, it's how you deal with it that matters. And you can learn that in sports. You practice, you work hard, you get knocked back occasionally, but you come back and continue to do your best, and that's what makes for a successful life. That and be true to yourself and handle yourself with class and hopefully good character. So one last thing I'd say, Nick, as you put your finger on it, the American family has changed a lot, and we have a high divorce rate in our society, but even with that, we ought to do right by our kids. And you look at the problems with drugs and other things, so much of it has to do with broken families and people not really doing right by their children. So we ought to dedicate ourselves to that, because there's a wonderful quote I once heard, our children are the messages we send to a future we will not live to see. We want to make sure that future gets the right kind of messages.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you one last message to put you on the spot. The most important question of the day, your top five AFC teams. I know one of them is Indianapolis. who are your others?
Well, let's see. You start off with the Colts. That's right. Denver, looks pretty good. Ravens, of course, have got a strong D. The Pittsburgh's kind of struggling right now, but they got a tough coach and, a good character. You can't write them off. And I'll tell you one other team, New England, boy, with Belichick and Brady and their history there, I would never count the Patriots out.
Yeah, I just add San Diego that if their young quarterback can continue to mature, that they're going to be the end, the fifth of those five teams. But I'm not surprised, knowing that you and I had dinner before the Indianapolis Colts game with the Jets back in 1994, if you can remember that. I'm not surprised somehow that you support Indianapolis.
Well, you got to go with the home team, right? Besides, you know, Peyton looks like he's doing well. If we can stop the run, Nick, we'll do well.
You got it, brother. Well, thank you, Evan. Appreciate it. Good luck in your campaign. Everything. Thanks for joining us.
Take care now.
Senator Evan Bayan and Jim Tunney, my friend. We'll come back. We'll talk about some more of that fun stuff, that face masking penalty, and how you avoid giving an incentive to people to commit acts that literally can risk the careers of players. We'll be right back on Head Games Radio. Stay with us.